Josh Silverman is the director of the Department of Energy's Office of Sustainability Support. He led the effort to halt releases of sulfur hexafluoride. For that, he's nominated for a Science and Environment Medal as part of the Service to America Awards. And Josh joins us now. Thanks very much for coming on with us, and congrats on the nomination.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So what in the world is sulfur hexafluoride, and how did you go about finding it? As it says in your nomination paperwork, it was something that the department didn't really realize it had been emitting for so long, right?
That's absolutely right. Sulfur hexafluoride is an electrical insulator. So it's used in industry, mostly by the electric utility industry. It helps prevent arcing and sparking in high voltage lines, and so they use it in transformers and electrical substations and things like that. At the Department of Energy, we run a number of very high-energy physics laboratories where we collide atoms together and try and detect subatomic particles that result from those collisions in accelerators and other types of equipment. And those use a lot of electricity, but they also are often pressurized with sulfur hexafluoride because the gas reduces the electrical noise. And so if you're looking for, you know, neutrons or subatomic particles, by reducing the electrical noise, you get to see them. You get to see those particles you're looking for more effectively. But we didn't understand the environmental impacts of not managing the sulfur hexafluoride well. And so when we conducted a greenhouse gas inventory, we learned that we were leaking a lot of sulfur hexafluoride into the atmosphere.
Sulfur hexafluoride, one pound of it, according to what I'm reading here, is equivalent to 11 tons of CO2 in terms of its impact to global warming, its greenhouse gas impact. It's also colorless and odorless. How did you go about finding where it was being emitted and cutting off those emissions?
Yes, identifying the sulfur hexafluoride emissions is a tricky task. It's not a regulated gas. Apart from its global warming impact, which is substantial, it is the most potent greenhouse gas that's in commercial use. It's otherwise not a hazard. It's not toxic. It doesn't harm the environment, and so it's not regulated. However, we did know that all of our facilities do maintain a chemical inventory, and so what we're able to track is purchasing records and then usage patterns. So we asked our facilities to identify how much sulfur hexafluoride they were purchasing in a given year, and that really is replacing lost sulfur hexafluoride in our equipment, and that's how we were able to get our first effort to measure how much gas we were losing.
And is this gas something that's so exotic that it's really only used by an agency like the U.S. Department of Energy, or can what you did be translated into other industries and reduce emissions elsewhere?
The gas is used commercially primarily in electric utility industries, and there has been a voluntary partnership that the Environmental Protection Agency runs since about 2000 to help reduce sulfur hexafluoride emissions. But any operator of high voltage equipment can benefit from minimizing its sulfur hexafluoride releases. And a lot of the standard practices in chemical management, leak detection and repair, preventive maintenance, really go a long way to reduce the emissions from your operations.
I said in the intro that DOE had halted the release of this gas. Can we say that emissions have been reduced to zero at this point?
Oh, no. No, we've cut emissions by more than 50%, but we have not gotten to zero, and it would be extremely difficult to get down to zero.
Tell me briefly what you did to cut down these emissions. Was it a matter of installing new equipment? Was it a matter of changing people's work processes? What was the main driver?
There were a couple of different tasks that were the key drivers. One was to install some new equipment. So I mentioned that some of these pieces of scientific equipment would simply be opened at the end of their experimental cycle, and the gas would simply be released when people went in to maintain the equipment or to retrieve the test results. So in those cases, installing recapture equipment and then capturing and reusing the gas was a key approach. In other cases, systems were simply old and leaky, and so they were losing the gas slowly through, in many cases, you know, pinhole-sized leaks or through leaky valves or flanges. And so that's where this preventative maintenance and leak detection and repair program comes into place. So it was a mix of new equipment and improved procedures. The other thing we had to do was really improve our inventory control, both measuring how much we were using and evaluating our stockpiles. For many of our Department of Energy facilities, they've had a large quantity of gas in stock that had been used on one experiment, and they hadn't been aware that it was sitting in one portion of the facility, and so they could repurpose it to another portion of the facility and be more efficient.